This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities taking a look at the wheat markets for Friday, January 15th. Well, we have a lot of news in the wheat space and primarily focused on Russia. And this morning, Russia announcing that they are going to increase the export tax for wheat. This would be starting on March 1st. So we still have that February 15th tax that goes into effect at 25 euros per metric ton, which equates to about 82 cents a bushel. And then just 2 weeks later, starting on March 1, they're going to increase that tax to 50 euros per metric ton. That's about $1.65 a bushel. And then that extends through the end of the marketing year, which the original tax was going to do as well. So basically, they're going to start out with the original plan just for 2 weeks, and then they're going to double it into the end of the marketing year. On top of that, they are suggesting that they're probably going to have some sort of a tax into the new marketing year with the new crop. They didn't say exactly what that would be, but there would be some sort of a tax to still contain domestic supplies. And then on top of that, starting on March 15th, they are also going to have a tax for corn, 25 euros per ton, and barley at 10 euros per ton. So Russia really clamping down on domestic supplies of grain in general. And of course, this is basically going to serve as an elevation of world price all across the board, because you don't have anyone else in the Northern Hemisphere other than the United States and Canada that can really fill export demand. Europe isn't there. Ukraine is sold out, and everybody else is basically a small player in the Northern Hemisphere. In the Southern Hemisphere, you've got Argentina, which is basically also sold out or already committed to Brazil, and Australia, which had a huge crop of soft wheat primarily. So they're not a hard wheat seller. It's a different type of wheat, and they've been pretty aggressive selling what they have, and they're already starting to talk about slowing down some of these exports as well. So it just opens the door wide open for North America, basically, U.S. and Canada. You know, Canada's not a winter wheat exporter, per se, so that just leaves the United States for hard red winter wheat and soft red, if you want to include that, but it clearly pinpoints hard red winter wheat in the United States, and the Kansas City Board of Trade market is obviously, you know, the beneficiary of that. And we see the spread action between KC and Chicago just pushing higher. So what it's telling us is that the big traders are willing to go into Kansas City for their large orders. My fear was that even with Russia clamping down on exports, that the big traders would want to go to Chicago, which is what happened the last time there was a major export restrictions from Russia. They kind of piled into the Chicago market and left Kansas City in the dust, even though it was hard red winter wheat. Well, this time around, it's a little different even for Kansas City Board of Trade, which has been absorbed by the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. So it's much easier to trade both of those markets, easier to trade the spreads. There's more liquidity in Kansas City as well. So clearly, they're going to Kansas City. So this tells us that even with major disruptions in world trade by Russia, that the big traders are still going to focus on Kansas City. We don't have to worry so much about Chicago. My other worry is that as corn and soybeans soar higher and feed grain supplies become very tight, that would be a Chicago market that feed grain manufacturers would go toward, or the end user would go toward. That's a soft market. That's a lower quality market. But that really hasn't caught the kind of fire that Kansas City has either. So those enormous discounts that Kansas City had to Chicago are virtually gone. The new crop is sitting just at 10 under. SEP is 6 or 5 under. DEES is at 3 under. You know, we were at 70 under here just a few months ago. So it speaks to the bull market that is going on between the spreads, and it speaks to the broader just general bull market in wheat in itself. And it's a very strong bull market. Now, that said, it is worth noting that on that announcement, the wheat rallied 25 cents. It was up overnight. Right now, we're down 2 to 3 in Chicago. Kansas City is just up a couple. Minneapolis is unchanged. So the market has deflated all of that on some pretty bullish news. And this follows a couple days ago, you know, following the crop report where we had a big surge in price value. The market did not hold very well. So it sure looks to me like the wheat market is starting to run out of gas up here. So I'd be looking for the wheat market to have a correction here. It might last a week, maybe two, kind of kill off some time on the options. But I think that we're looking at the markets kind of taking a breather. Corn and beans, of course, they're a little different animal. We've got some weather issues going on in major producing areas. There are some rains forecast, but then we're looking at another stretch of dryness and some heat to build into Argentina. So that's, I think, the next phase of this market. It too, both of those look like they're due for a breather. But corn showed us that it's holding together very well because, you know, you didn't close well after the gap higher the day after the crop report. And then yesterday, we tried to fill that gap, but we couldn't do it. And then we rallied and regained much of what we lost on Wednesday, which is very solid support. It's a very solid indicator that the market is holding together quite well and that the supports are well, the breaks are well supported. I would continue to look for that kind of price action in corn and ultimately would be supportive for the wheat space. But I think we're headed for a breather here for a few days, maybe for corn and beans. And of course, you've got a long weekend ahead of you. I would imagine there's going to be some profit taking on that. And then we'll come in on the backside of this extended holiday break. And, you know, Monday night, we'll start trading again. And then we'll have, you know, three more days of weather forecast to see where we're at for the rest of January. So I would look for the markets probably to be weaker today, get some profit taking, kind of deflate somewhat. I don't see everything falling apart. With wheat, supports show up about 30 cents below us. So we could break that deep and still be just fine as far as our uptrend goes. And I think that would set the tone then or give us enough of a correction to reset and then start that next leg up. Because I do think as we head into the spring, you're still going to be fighting for acres. And even acres that are already planted to winter wheat, if they're in marginal condition, farmers are going to take a strong look at that because you could easily bump over to soybeans or corn, sorghum in the Central Plains. All are viable alternatives to a crop of wheat that's kind of marginal, that doesn't break dormancy in very good condition. In the Northern Plains, it looks to me like we're setting up for an epic battle for acres. And especially that's going to play out in North Dakota and Minnesota and maybe partially South Dakota. Spring wheat acres are going to have to hold their ground against encroaching soybeans and corn when these markets are sky high. And I don't think spring wheat is there yet. I don't think the price level in spring wheat competes with corn and beans, especially if we still have some more upside in both of those markets. So that's still going on. And of course, those spreads have performed very well against Chicago as well. And I think there's still more to come there. I don't see Minneapolis being discount to Chicago if you've got a battle for acres. I think both KC and Minneapolis will regain their premiums over Chicago, certainly by the end of the growing season, but most likely as we get into the battle for acres. So that's still coming in the spring. So we're looking at good potential here to the upside. Export sales were a little disappointing. Wheat, 232,000 tons. So, you know, that was even below the low end of the range of estimates. So not a lot to crow about there. High prices are kind of pushing back. Egypt canceled the tender this week because they didn't like the price. Well, you know, they'll be the first ones to step up on any kind of a break in wheat. Egypt will step up and buy. But the bottom line is, I don't see any of these grains backing off very much because, you know, you're running into fewer and fewer sellers. Feed grain markets have been very strong across the world. Who's going to fill that void with Argentina gone and Ukraine gone and Europe out of, you know, their feed grain prices are already sky high. I just don't see it happening. So things are solid. This is a demand-driven market that's been spurred on by some suddenly tight supplies here in the United States, and now we're looking at tightening supplies in South America, and now you're heading into the growing season where you're going to have to find more acres. And so I just don't see this backing off. It's demand led, but we've got some supply scares kind of infiltrating, and this just, it's a setup for some very big dynamics in the market, and I would look for that to continue here over the next several months. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.